right. Psalms chapter 1. The title of this morning is simply, The Blessed Man Is. The Blessed Man Is. There is a big difference between saying that you are blessed or bless their little heart. All the things that we have heard people say, people use that term quite often, don't they? Boy, well, bless them. Well, bless them. Oh, you know such and such a family or this person. Oh, they are so blessed, aren't they? And there is a big difference between those statements and what God is declaring here in Psalm 1, where it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it starts to talk about what he will look like. We often look at people and we say, okay, they're blessed if they have. Or they're blessed if they have not. If they don't have sickness, if they don't have disease, if they don't have turmoil and conflict in their life. But when God looks at you, He doesn't necessarily look at it the same way as oftentimes we evaluate the lives of others. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I've made statements kind of like this, I guess for the last few years probably, if you've been listening, and I imagine that you have. If you have nothing, is Jesus not enough? On Thursday night, we kind of went over some things regarding that. If everything was stripped away and you lost what you regard as most precious in this world, and I'm talking about Jesus, I'm not talking about the, you know, when it comes to your relationship with Him, but if you lost everything else, would it still not be a good day? Because God has given you salvation. Jesus is your Savior. And you have the promise of eventually one day abiding in His presence. Would it not still be a day worth living? The way that we look at life is often so skewed from the way that God describes the life that He would have for us to experience. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and it is His law that He meditates day and night. Where is it that we derive our pleasure, our enjoyment? Now, Ashley, she's probably on an emotional high. She experienced some euphoria yesterday. She got to fish for hours and catch fish. And so I'm hoping, just hoping, that it's provided a little bit of what she likes or what she almost needs when it comes to fishing. Probably not. But it was enjoyable. But the joy of those things don't seem to last, do they? The joy of experience doesn't seem to last. Oftentimes it seems the only experience of joy that lasts is when God reveals something to us from His Word. Something in the midst of His Word, of His declaration, it seems to become a part of us. And in the midst of trial and of conflict and turmoil, those things seem to bring joy. If we think back to the time that we went fishing and how fun that was, unless we're doing it again, it doesn't seem to be as good, does it? We went up to our grandparents' place. So very different. So very different. It's disappointing in a way. And as I look around there, and it's just weird. The grandpa and grandma, they're not there. And the way that it was when I was a kid, it's not like that anymore. And if I looked at that place and expected to derive pleasure, to derive a joy from that place, guess what? It doesn't give me the pleasure. It doesn't give me the joy. It doesn't give me the hope. If anything, it depresses me. If anything, it would be a discouragement to me. But I realized some of the things that God did with me when I was there. I remember the picture of what it is to make a sacrifice so that a marriage might survive. I saw that in my grandmother. I remember what it was to see God provide for people as they would plant their garden and we would catch the fish and Grandma would put all of that food away. And guess where we went when it was time to eat? Grandma would send us to the cellar to go and to get that which God had provided so that we might sit down and have a meal. And God taught me that He is the great provider when I was there. And I remember going to church with my grandma and grandpa. and the excitement in my grandpa's face when he would talk about the return of Christ. God gave me that there. And as I looked at that place when I was there, it was so disappointing, so disheartening in the physical sense that the place was falling apart and the lives that I remember there are no longer what they were. My grandpa's gone to be with the Lord. My grandma's gone to be with the Lord. The family doesn't seem to go there and be a part of what's taking place there so much anymore. But I was reminded of all that God did in my heart when I was there. Now, you don't need to quote it right now. I hope you don't, because it's going to be really messy with everybody doing it. But who in here has a Bible verse or some Bible verses that have made a dramatic impact upon their lives? I have some of those. There was a time when I was reading God's Word, and I teased about this a little bit with Ashley and I. Over the years, I would be reading my Bible, because as far as covering much of God's Word and getting to see much of what He has declared, Ashley was far ahead of me when we got married. She was in Christian homeschool, and then she went to all these youth classes, and she was in church and all these meetings, and guess what? I was not. I went to church once in a while when I was a small kid, and then as I got older, yeah, I went there on Sunday, but as far as digesting and ingesting God's Word, it really does not happen at the quantity at which it should have. And so I would tell Ashley some of the great things that God just showed me that morning, and she'd look at me and try to be encouraging, and she'd smile, and she'd say, "Yeah, that's pretty neat, isn't it?" And because she'd already read that years ago, and I guess already experienced the joy that it brought. But for me, it was new, it was fresh, it was life-changing. Blessed is the man, first of all, that delights. Blessed is the man that delights. We all have things that we delight in, don't we? And one of the easiest things, I think, for everybody to comprehend when it comes to that is food. You say, "What? Oh, come on now, you enjoy to eat. There are things that you enjoy to eat." And no, I'm not going to preach on gluttony, although it's a worthy thing to preach on, I suppose. But what I'm talking about is those things that we enjoy, those sweet treats that you might like, those favorite portions of an animal or the things in the garden that you so greatly desire. There's even a coffee creamer out there called International What? Delight. Because they're trying to bring up, to rise up some emotion, some experience in your life and say, "Guess what? You want a cup of coffee. Guess what? You want the creamer of your desire in that cup of coffee. International Delight." And we know what it is to delight in choice pieces of food. We know what it is to delight in reminiscing over experiences of the past, either with family or with friends. But many of those things we don't seem to be able to replicate them. We can't duplicate them. We can't make them happen again, not as they were. Why? Because things move on and people change and people go away and nothing seems to stay the same. Except for the Lord. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Tomorrow, guess what? He's going to be the same for you. But tomorrow will be just as much a provider for you as he ever was for David. He'll be just as much of a provider and a comfort and hope as he was for Paul. The blessed man is a man who delights. Now, what is it to delight? It means to give pleasure. That which is a valuable thing. Delight. Now, what's the value of International Delight Creamer? There isn't much, is there, really?
$5.
$5, yeah, that's what they'll sell it to you for. Big old bottle of it. There's not really much value upon it. Yes, we may desire it, but it's not really a valuable thing. Now, my dad might have disagreed with you, because, at least with a cup of coffee, because it got to the point where he could no longer drink coffee. So he would sit there and he'd pour it into his feeding tube. He just wanted coffee so bad. He just wanted to taste something so bad. And so he would do that and pretend like he could experience a cup of coffee. Those things don't last, and oftentimes they go away. Have you ever thought of those who have found themselves in the midst of not just conflict for standing for Christ, but they have found themselves in bondage, thrown in prison because of Christ or their connection to Him? We watched a video a few years ago concerning the Wurmbrand and all that, some of the things at least that he went through. I don't think he remembers a lot of what happened. He remembers some, but he doesn't remember all of it because he was so high on drugs and all the stuff that they were doing to him. He can't remember all of it. But in the midst of all of that, it seems as though he could still see that God was there. Now, I told Ashley yesterday, I'm not sure how true all these stories are, but I read a few of them now, these articles of fundamentalist Islamists, people who are so out, they are thrilled to do the work of Allah. And they're massacring and they're killing Christians, and they think that this is the best thing that they could ever do to please their God. And I've read a few articles where these people are converting to Christ because as they sleep in their beds, this man visits them in their dreams and rebukes them for what they have done. And somehow, by a miracle, they know exactly who he is. Just like Saul did when he was walking on the road to Damascus and he says, "Lord," they know that it's Jesus. And when they wake up terrified for what they have done, not just against God's people, but against God, they are repenting and turning to Jesus. It's remarkable. Some of the best, I guess, or most amazing work that's taking place when it comes to salvation of souls and people becoming disciples of Christ, it's happening in Muslim countries. Because people are being faced with the decision of what they will do, of who, what they will do with Jesus. It's amazing that God has done. It says here in verse number 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." First of all, we see that the man who is blessed with God, he delights in the law of the Lord. Psalm 40, verse number 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Psalm 119, verse 16, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." The word of God is something that is different than the things that you often learn in school. There is so much that I have forgotten when it comes the things that I learned in school. But is there a Bible verse? Is there an account that God declared in His Word that you just cannot seem to shake? You don't want to shake it. And in the midst of difficulty, it seems to rise up and provide you with that hope that you so desperately need, that it gives that comfort that you so desperately need. Psalm 119, verse 47, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Romans 7, verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." There is a provision, there is a hunger that can only be filled by food that God provides. Now, not one of us in here is starving physically, but some of us might be starving spiritually because we are not being fed. We're not feeding ourselves as God would have us to feed ourselves. That food that only God can give. That provision that only God can meet. That satisfaction. I was talking with Ashley while we were driving. I said, "Isn't it remarkable, the human body? Sometimes when there's a small little defect or there's something affecting it, yes, it does not work perfectly, but think of all that the human body is doing. It is so marvelously made." cellular reproduction. You figure a couple of cells and then it becomes a baby, and the baby becomes a toddler, and the toddler becomes a child, and the child becomes an adult. It's remarkable even just watching it grow. And then you think of all that this body can do. It has hands to grab things, and we have nose to smell things, and we can think with our minds. Unfortunately, we don't do it as we ought to. And you cut yourself and it heals. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? It's remarkable all that God has done in designing man. You know, sometimes I just sit there and think of all that God has done in making me and in making you, and it just absolutely brings tears to my eyes because I cannot imagine me doing the same. That I would make somebody so wonderful with so many great blessings and allow them to walk away from me. Blessed is the man that delights in the law of the Lord. Secondly, blessed is the man who delights in the Lord. Isaiah 58, verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Aren't you thankful that there is someone who makes a promise and can keep a promise? Aren't you thankful that there is someone that makes promises for the future when we can't even see the future and know what we will need in the midst of it? Aren't you thankful that the Lord is the one who will give you the blessing that you need when you don't even realize you're going to need it? The blessed man looks like some of these things. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where do you go for counsel? Do you go to the bookstore and look for the book? Do you call up a friend and ask them? Do you get on the internet and Google it? Where do you go for the counsel that you need when it comes to the most precious, most important things of life? There is nowhere else to turn, is there? There's times I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Yeah, you might not realize this, you probably did. I experience discouragement sometimes. Yes. There are times that I wonder, should I be here or should I be somewhere else? Would I not be better serving God somewhere else? Or should I just stay here? And then about 5 minutes later, the Spirit of God refreshes me and realize, you know what? You're exactly where you need to be if you're where I called you. You say, I can't believe that you'd say that. Oh, you've experienced it too. You wonder, should I go somewhere else and serve God? The blessed man does not seek the counsel of the ungodly. Do you look to your peers? Do you look to your acquaintances, to your family, for the counsel that you need, especially if they serve not God? The blessed man doesn't. He says he does not stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. He looks different. He does things differently. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. Which leads us to our second point. Blessed is the man who not only delights, but who meditates. Now, I'm not talking about that Eastern meditation of the Hindus. I'm not talking about that trance that they try to get them fixated in, and they recite things over and over again like a mantra, trying to get their minds fixed and their bodies free. The child of God is supposed to be somebody who meditates. To meditate is to ponder, to speak, and I found this fascinating, to study. To study. When you sit at your home and you don't know the answer to something, you open up God's Word. As you study it, you're meditating upon the things of God. And God said, this is what you are supposed to be doing. This is what will bring not blessing into your life so that you might selfishly enjoy it, but so that it might be a delight. So that it might be a declaration to others. So that you might fit into what He has planned for you. Blessed is the man who meditates, first of all, in his law. His law here is simply a precept or statute, especially the dialogue of the Pentateuch. It literally means the one who meditates, who studies, who takes delight in God's Word. When you open up God's Word, you look at it as something that's going to ruin your day and make you feel guilty. Or when you open up His Word, you look at it as something that's going to meet that hunger that you have, that's going to give you the answers that you need, that's going to give you the comfort that you can't find anywhere else, that is going to give you the hope of a secure future. When the things around you don't seem to last. Blessed is the man who meditates in His law. 2 Timothy 2:15, we know that, don't we? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we want to be a people who glorify God when it comes to knowing His Word, we must meditate upon it. You're not going to have the counsel that another person needs. You're not going to have the answer that you will need in the midst of a trial when you are in the midst of temptation. You remember what Jesus would say over and over again, "It is written." Now, if you don't know what's written, good luck. Good luck in the midst of temptation. Good luck in the midst of trial if you don't know what's written. Where will you go? What will you lean upon? Blessed is the man who meditates in His law. Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." That's another one of those curious verses, isn't it? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, who in here looks at affliction as something that is good? Something that's going to benefit you, something that will be a help to you? I'll be honest. When I think of affliction, I don't think of it as something that's good, but you know that it can be. It means to mourn, to lament, or to have anguish. Oftentimes, the most painful moments of your life will be some of the most precious moments of your life. Because as everything in this world falls away, all you have is God. When you have been stubborn, and you have been proud, and you have been set in your ways, those things begin to be broken down. You finally are willing to follow Him. The anguish, the mourning, the sadness of life oftentimes prompts us to the most dramatic changes that we will ever experience as a people living upon the face of the earth. Secondly, concerning meditating upon Him, we are to do so day and night. Blessed is the man that meditates day and night. Aside from both of these words meaning a day and a night, the word translated day means also daily, and the word translated night speaks of the night season. So it's not just something you ought to do on a day and on a night. It's every day, it's every night. God says, "This is what I have for you." Blessed is the man who meditates day and night. When you wake up in the middle of the night confused or overwhelmed with things, where else can you go? There's times where I'm laying in bed and I just cannot figure things out. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix a problem. And I'm not just talking about physical problems where, okay, how do I get this pipe fitting? But how do I help that person? How do I encourage them, or how do I attempt to repair a relationship? How do I forgive this person? And as you lay in that bed and you just don't know the answer, you know, oftentimes I honestly believe it's just the Spirit of God reminding me that He has forgiven all in my life, and He's given me even forgetfulness when it comes to much of my sin. Promise of a future that is bright. Brighter than any day that you have ever experienced. Brighter than any day that I have ever experienced. Blessed is the man who meditates day and night. We are in the latter season, hopefully, of our lives. And what I mean by that is that no matter what your age is, if you have come to Jesus Christ in salvation, you are in the latter season of this life. Now it comes down to this. Will you seek your counsel from the ungodly? Will you sit in their ways? Will you delight in the Lord? Will you meditate upon His Word? Will you look to Him for the strength, the counsel, the wisdom, the joy that you so desperately will need? Then last, blessed is the man who bringeth. Verse number 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man who bringeth. Bringeth is to give, or what he has given or what he will give. Bringeth. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. We often look back at the things of the past and say, oh, wasn't God good? And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I will add to that is, isn't God good? What God did was wonderful. What God is doing is equally wonderful. We romanticize over what God has done in the past with Joseph, in bringing out of the bondage of slavery and out of the bondage of prison and placing him upon the leadership and authoritative role in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And we see that he was used to provide not just for that nation, but to provide for his own family. What a victorious account, isn't it? And we look at what God did in Abraham and bringing them out of Ur of the Chaldees, and we see him wandering, and God gives him a land that he promised to him, and he fulfills so many wonderful promises that he has made, and we see him giving a son promise. So we see that son then be giving sons, and we see all that God did to fulfill his promise over and over again. But he didn't just do it. God is still doing it. Bringing forth his fruit in his season. What God did, he is still doing. When it comes to bearing not just a blessing into your life, but in using you for his glory, God is still doing it. It says that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. First of all, the blessed man bringeth like a tree. He bringeth like a tree. Two things concerning this tree. We see that it is planted and that it has an abundance of supply. Why? Because where is it planted? It's planted by the rivers of water. And since it is by the source of everything that it needs, when I was down there, I'm at my brother's house and he lives on the side of the mountain, all this water's coming off the side of the mountain. And I told the pastor, I'm like, look at these trees, they're huge. I mean, compared to Toad. Cottonwoods, I mean, that it would take 4 or 5 of us just to get our arms around it. Enormous cottonwood trees, and I look at that and I say, wow! Because I live in Toad. Now, how do those trees get so big? You know, guess why? Because they're planted by the rivers of water. And they have more than enough water to meet their needs. They have more than enough nutrition as that stuff comes off the side of the mountain to meet their needs. Why is it we find ourselves so destitute and without hope in so many situations? Because we have not allowed ourselves to be planted by the rivers of water. We have not found our delight in His law. We have not meditated upon His Word. We've looked to the world for hope. We look to our future and retirement for pleasure. I mean, let's be honest. I said something last night on our way home to Ashley, like, yeah, when we retire, we could, you know, do this, this, and this. And I was joking because, believe me, I have no retirement plans. And she looked at me, she's like, we're going to retire? I said, yeah, we'll die. We'll go to be with the Lord. I mean, that's what I figure for retirement.
It's pretty good retirement.
Any child of God, that is our retirement plan, isn't it? It can't be 401ks, and it can't be Roth IRAs, and it can't be all of these things that people say that we need. And it can't be a cabin in the middle of the woods, and it can't be an RV that we get to drive. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to enjoy any of those things, but if that is where we find our delight, if that is where we find our hope and our pleasure, it's pretty shallow. Because, you know, the retirement age, so I have been told, in order to receive Social Security benefits is 67. Now, don't be discouraged, Bruce. I know you're older than that. But you know what the U.S. government is hoping? That you will die within a few years after that. Because they don't really want to pay you for very long.
Right.
Now, say we all look forward to the day that we turn 67. Yes, it'll make some things easier. You won't have to work. You'll still get the money that you've invested in it. But it doesn't provide much hope, does it?
No.
First of all, it's a pittance in many ways. And no matter how much you get with Social Security, no matter how much you get for retirement, you're still going to die. Death is still coming for each and every one of us. Whether we ever reach the age where we can get Social Security, or we do reach the age where we get Social Security, however many years we have, no matter what age we are, we can still delight in Him. We can still meditate upon His Word. We can still bring forth fruit in His season. God can still prosper you. You say, oh, there it is again, that prosperity gospel. Yep, it's riddled through God's Word. I just never understood it until Chuck said something about it. Jesus did preach the prosperity gospel. Spiritual prosperity. Heavenly hope. We can't place our faith and hope upon the things of the face of the earth, can we? Trees are planted near abundance of supply. And then last, blessed is the man that bringeth forth fruit. That bringeth forth fruit. He does so in his season. He does so without fail. And he does so with bounty. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, it gives me hope that no matter where I am, no matter whether I have anything at my disposal to use or not, it says there, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is a good work. Serving Him and bringing glory to Him is a good work. No matter what you have and what you don't have, He is sufficient. He's enough. I know that that's easier said than done. I know that. Do I know it because I've stepped out in faith like some spiritual giant and I've experienced it? No. But in the small things, in the small times that we have stepped out in faith, we have seen God provide, and we have realized that He is sufficient in every area of life. He's sufficient. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly. Get down into verse number 2 and verse number 3. Why is he so blessed? He's blessed because he realizes what God is doing. You know that it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, there are ungodly countries that have an abundance of oil. There are ungodly countries that have wonderful farmland. Is every farmer in the United States a godly person? Certainly not. Is every hunter that goes out this next fall and gets an animal, are they somebody who is godly? No. But they will not realize the blessing of God, will they? They will not recognize it as a blessing directly from Him. As we live our lives and He begins to work and to mold us and to bring us to the place where we recognize His daily provision, His daily watch care, His daily leadership, our mind will be literally transformed and hopefully will become transfixed upon on what He has for us. I don't think we can get so heavenly minded we're all earthly good. I think if we would honestly become more heavenly minded, we'd become of much more earthly good. Blessed is the man, because he'll know it, because he'll recognize it. If you read God's Word and you meditate upon it, and you find your delight in that, you will realize more and more as your life goes on that He's sufficient in every situation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for each one that's here. We thank You for each word that is recorded. Lord, we realize that we are, it seems, at the beginning of things when it comes to understanding Your Word. But Lord, we're at the end of things when it comes to this life, as far as what is available. You have made salvation available, we've received it. You've made blessing abundant, and Lord, we've received that. But Lord, more and more each day, might Your Spirit remind us the many blessings that we see in our lives that we've experienced and will experience, Lord. They're for Your glory. Lord, might we delight in the things that You delight in. Might we meditate upon the things that You have declared. And Lord, might it transform our dreams and aspirations for this life. Lord, I pray for each one that's here, might You be all sufficient. Lord, I don't know what You have in store. I don't know what will take place this week. But Lord, we trust that You will be enough no matter what. Lord, I'm reminded of the song that says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Certainly not all things in the midst of the day are sweet. But Lord, You're always sweet. Lord, I thank You for this time. I pray that You would continue to be glorified as we sit down and we converse with each other. Lord, as we pray for each other this week. Lord, we lift Mary up as she'll get ready to leave again this week and drive. I pray that You would not just keep her safe, Lord, but that You would use her in her family's life to point others to Jesus. Might they see joy. Joy that has no other explanation than that she has found it in You. Lord, we pray for her son, the grandkids, Lord, with all that they're going through, and decisions that are still being made, Lord, I pray that in the midst of a difficult situation that You could be glorified. Lord, we pray that You'd bring Chuck back safe. We thank You for what You've been doing in the life of Chuck Miller. And I pray that You'd continue to minister to Chuck and to Cindy. Lord, that they would know once more, and that others would see once more that You are sufficient no matter what takes place. In the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.